This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Huge win for the Rockets last night at Toyota Center versus the Golden State Warriors in the first round of the playoffs, tying this thing up at one game apiece. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig with you. Jalen Green, 38 points, which was really the big thing, was just finding that offense after a game in which it felt like you couldn't knock down very much. You had 85 whole points. And in this one, 60 points in the first half. It was just entirely different. Mm-hmm. And, of course, sparked very much by Jalen Green finding a little bit more of himself, knocking down shots. But and you were in that place. You were asking, you know, I need 28. I need 30 from you. He was like, how about 38?
I'll take it.
How sustainable does that feel from him or to do it in this particular way, to have Jalen Green at the top of this putting up damn near 40 or something to that effect, as opposed to maybe a more balanced effort from this Rockets team?
Well, is Jimmy Butler going to play? He's going to lead to my answer.
You think it's a direct correlation in that way?
Oh, not necessarily specific to Jalen Green, but the Warriors are kind of lost without him on the floor, man. Now, they'll be better because they're going to have 2 days to prepare and maybe make some changes, but their personnel isn't there.
Honestly, outside of Curry and Jimmy Butler, yeah, where is that offense coming from?
Right, and like defense.
I mean, they got really good defense, right, but who else scoring outside of those two? Draymond ain't doing nothing.
But
he ain't doing
nothing
on
the
offense.
Defensive side, you know, they're going to have to change everything in terms of maybe, you know, obviously trying to switch everything, and then you've got mismatches, and then they can't stop Şengün on the inside. They certainly can't stop Jalen Green's drives. So, if Jimmy Butler doesn't play, I feel as if that this is going to be maybe not 38, but much more sustainable. If Jimmy Butler does play, that gives their rotation that teeth again. You know, it's teeth again because he's good on both ends of the floor. He's good in transition and longer, you know, on the perimeter, and they can maybe run some more of the defense that they want. But the short answer to your question, I think it's sustainable because, as I mentioned at the top of the show, I think he found something, and those jitters that he openly talked about, to his credit, like the lights were bright, you know, the court looked bigger and all that. Credit to him for, you know, acknowledging what we talked about after game one. But I think he's settling in. I think it's very much sustainable. Not 38, but if he can go mid-20s, you're onto something.
Yeah, and I think that's probably more of what I was looking at, is possibly getting that low to mid-20s from, closer to what I think Figgy mentioned this yesterday. His average is 21 points on the season. And so, actually, this was Ime Udoka, the head coach of this team, after the game, being asked about, you know, that conversation that has happened quite a bit. The comments of critics saying that this team does not have a closer.
Well, we've done it every which way this year. Like I said, we can do it by committee, anybody's night on a given, you know, in a given game. And then you have nights like this with Jalen going for 38, and we've had Alpi and Jalen going for 30 each. So they make the right play. They draw the crowd, and where they both grown is getting everybody else involved. And the fact that they can break defenses down and create shots for themselves, the onus is on them to, you know, get guys involved. And, you know, we space it out with shooters, cutters, lob threats, and all those things, and it works well for us. So however we get it done, we figure it out all year different ways, and tonight it was Jalen's turn.
I did find it interesting that Steven Adams really wasn't a big factor.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even get a lot of minutes. And I'm wondering if that was by design or maybe at their own adjustment to what the Warriors were doing. Because I think what he said there about, you know, the cuts off the baseline to me were what stood out early, even with Butler on the floor. Like coming off the baseline, from both ends, not just spotting up for a corner three and kicking, drive and kick and all that stuff. So I think maybe he wants to see more of that because that helps Şengün facilitate. That's the second time I've done that. Facilitate the offense.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think Jimmy Butler's absence does help. Jimmy had five steals in that mm-hmm. first game. Mm-hmm. And I do think that his ability to kind of play almost like an off ball, like a safety of sorts. And when that ball kind of skips over in some instances where you're trying to find backdoor cuts and things of that nature, mm-hmm. Made it tough in game one. And him not being there allowed them to do that a little bit more easily in this game, although they were doing it when he was on the floor as well. I think when coming back to that original question and what Ime said there, I think that he's right. Like, this is a team that kind of has to do it collectively, and they have nights where someone pops up and gives you these big kind of games. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's probably the thing that I would lean on more on the sustainability is, as a team, can you go as a group with everybody kind of factoring in, especially if you're knocking out some shots, especially if you're able to get some points in transition and things of that nature. And also, if you're not in those jittery spaces, if you're just locked in and playing the way that you're supposed to, especially knowing that your defense is going to hold the other team within reason, mm-hmm. you should be able to get enough to give you an opportunity to win on pretty much most nights, especially against this Warriors team, even if they're healthy.
I'll oversimplify it, and I'll put it this way. If Şengün can be Robin and not Batman, you know, to paraphrase what Jimmy Butler said about he and Steph Curry, I think the Rockets have a much more likely chance to win.
Yeah, I mean, if you have someone playing above what Alperin does, I think that, I still think Alperin has been very, he's been focal to what you're doing, like being able to play through the middle of the floor.
But he was Robin yesterday.
To some degree, but I want to highlight him for one thing. Also, you mentioned Steven Adams not getting as many minutes. Steven Adams mm-hmm. was the backbone of getting all these boards in game one. All them rebounds, mm-hmm. that was Alperin. Alperin was getting boards in a way that's not, I guess, not unusual for him, but was big mm-hmm. in a situation like this, especially when you did not have the double big to kind of, you know, just outsize the other team, in this instance, the Warriors. So, yeah, shout out to Alperin Şengün doing that. Also, I guess, shout out in some ways to Fred VanVleet. Mm-hmm. Can I do that? Because I asked this earlier, and it was a question that I sent a text to B. Scott as he was in the arena watching this game, and I was like, is he having a good game or a bad game or something else entirely? Because, I mean, you look at the box score and it's not a lot of, definitely not a lot of scoring. He did mm-hmm. filter back on taking as many shots, but of course when you had hot hands going all around, especially when you talk about Jalen Green knocking down shots, I think Dylan Brooks added a few shots as well. Tari Eason knocked down a few. He only took 8 shots, but he was 2 of 8, 1 of 7 from 3. Mm-hmm. And it was like, and he played 42 minutes, by far the most of anybody in this team. I was like, did he have a good game in this? And I feel like he did have a good game to some degree. And I actually think that it was in part something that Ime Udoka was talking about with Fred, which is, can you give me a Udoka 13 here, actually? This is Ime Udoka talking about Fred VanVleet and his importance to this team.
Yeah, this has been, you know, a constant from day one with him. You know, not making shots right now, but playing 42 minutes, a lot of work for a guy like him to chase, you know, bang with Draymond Green. Like I said, sniff out those actions and switch on the guys. And then when a man goes out, he switches on to Curry and he's picking him up full court and getting through screens and all those things. And so that's a lot on him there, but, you know, that's what he's up for and kind of the leader on both ends, really, to calm us down offensively, but, you know, bring the edge and toughness and versatility defensively. And so, you know, may not look like it, you know, with the 7 points or whatever, but obviously we got him back in when they went to zone. He's great at figuring that out, but the job he's doing defensively, you got to commend him for it. He's guarding bigger guys, chasing guys around, and, you know, using his smarts and toughness for sure.
Yeah, he was
the answer, right?
Yeah, he's the mental portion of it.
Yeah.
And defensively is the one that I guess I did not hone in on nearly as much as I should have during the course of this game. But mm-hmm. the thing that Draymond Green does really well, and we'll get to you, Draymond. I will talk about it. We got things to talk about with you. But the thing that Draymond Green does do well is like sussing things out defensively that mm-hmm. don't show, like the average person would not see. And I'm including myself in that. I'm not trying to talk above anybody mm-hmm. Because he has made the adjustment. He is switching, you know, doing a pre-switch before the thing that you would normally see defensively as, oh, well, that was a great defensive possession. He's already playing the mental game of that. I think Fred is doing some of that in this, some of the unseen kind of calculations on the floor for this Rockets team, defensively and in some ways offensively as well.
And that's why he's been so important. We've known it all year. They've talked about it. He just said it again last night. You just heard it. That's why he's so important. He had a good game, but I still, and we all get greedy on this, you know, the shot making would just put it way over the top. The other one, And he another good game, maybe not, you know, early on because he got in foul trouble, but I'd like to see more from Amen Thompson as well. You know, whether it's finishing, certainly on defense he does the job, but he got into a little bit of foul trouble. I think Amen Thompson's another one that maybe you'd like to see just get greedy a little bit with him.
You mentioned the foul trouble. I was a little worried about that in that moment. Of course, Jimmy Butler getting hurt kind of really hampered any opportunity that the Warriors were really going to have. It overwhelmed Steph Curry with the responsibility of what they have to do. Assuming that Jimmy Butler does make it back, maybe even for game three, right? Let's just do that without having any speculations further on in the series or what have you. Do you have any concern about the foul trouble? Because, I mean, the referees were somewhat letting them play, but then all of a sudden you look up, you got like three guys in foul trouble at points early on in the second half. And that feels like that could be problematic if that continues, especially if they have an opportunity to try and hit you, Golden State.
I'm wondering, and this is huge, man. This is a huge factor moving forward. I'm wondering what the NBA director of officiating is going to say to his guys. Because they're letting a lot of stuff go both ways.
Which I think inherently, in theory, it benefits the Rockets with the physicality that they're trying to put on Steph and the physicality they're trying to put on these other teams. But also, it doesn't help if you're getting – because it's also sometimes it's just the stupidest fouls that are being charged to Amen Thompson and charged to various other guys on this Rockets team.
No, they're letting – even Stan Van Gundy, who would like for his players to just beat up everyone, you know, and he shared the story – about some of the coaches that like Thibodeau texting him calling, boy, this is physical. When Thibodeau says something's physical, it's beyond physical. So I'm wondering if there's going to be any, not directive, but sort of a, conversation about calling this closer. You do not want that to happen.
I don't think so.
You don't want that to happen because that would hurt the Rockets. It'd be more foul trouble, et cetera.
Now, the conversation that I do think they should have is, at what point are y'all done letting Draymond Green act like
exactly.
this?
Exactly. I mean, that guy's a menace.
Like, at what point is too much? I mean, he out yelling at refs. He's out here, forearm shivering folks at various points. I'm like, at what point does this become too much? And also, Steve Kerr, please step to the podium because have some shame, dog.
Yeah.
Please have some shame. Obviously, in the arena, you get a F you Draymond chant going. And I understand where it comes from because Draymond is out here just acting petulant. The word that I continually use is antics. And that's what it feels like because at times, it's not even just the idea of him, playing hard and playing physical. He is actively doing things that undercut players. He's like doing things that are not basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And he even factors into like Jimmy Butler getting hurt, right? Him and in some way, Steven Adams in there, boxing in there. But like that's not the first time that he has had Amen Thompson has like fallen into somebody because of physicality or what have you. But he falls into and kind of undercuts Jimmy Butler when he falls on his tailbone, but it's just him playing, wild, reckless, and he has a history of this, and yet and still it feels like it takes triple the amount of shenanigans and antics for him to come up on a technical foul than anybody else. Like, at what point does this stop?
I think he's gonna blow a gasket. And you were saying earlier he kind of has, no, he's leaking right now. I mean, it's leaking right now. But I think he's going to take it upon, because he does it. We predicted it. We talked about it before the series. He's going to do something that is going to hurt his own squad, and that's the good news for the Rockets, because I think he's probably going to get thrown out of a game.
See, the thing is, I feel like Draymond, he's one of those players where the game is over, and you know it's over, that's when he start acting reckless.
He did last night.
Yeah.
He does stuff to sort of...
I feel like he tried to get himself thrown out the game, and they didn't throw him out the game. He do stuff like that when the game is over.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the good news unless somebody gets hurt, but he's going to do something to completely derail what the Warriors are trying to do. But I am curious how this next game is going to be called. You mentioned it, and it's true. It's been true for 40 years. The NBA playoffs are just officiated different. A lot more is let go. But this is what the NBA like deliberately and tangibly tried to get away from. Everybody's calling it like a 1990s type series. They did everything they could to get away from that. And now it's back in the conversation. I'm curious how they're going to call it.
Yeah, Adrian on the Twitch, Warriors fans have been delusional on the blame for the injury. Warriors fans are delusional about a lot of things, to be completely honest. But yes, they absolutely have been delusional about the injury, because, I mean, it's actually showing up on ESPN right now. And ain't no way you see that and in any way go, yeah, clearly Amen Thompson was trying to take out Jimmy Butler's legs. Are you insane?
But Steven Adams was in there too, though.
Oh, yeah, he was. Steven, if we're going to be completely honest.
If we're being honest, Steven Adams and Draymond bumped into Jalen Green there.
That's right. I did mention Steve Kerr, and I do want to adequately complain about what he was doing here. This is Steve Kerr after the game, getting he's a little hurt about the F.U. Draymond trance.
It's not ideal when a crowd is, chanting F.U. Draymond. It's just, I don't know. I mean, they did it in Boston a few years ago in the finals. It is what it is. Draymond's been around forever. He's an instigator. He's always going to be in the mix. And because of his career, his championships, his fire, he's going to be a lightning rod, and that's all part of it. I would prefer, if fans could use a little more discretion and, remember that, the guy has kids and, it's like there's kids. I don't know. I just, maybe I'm old school, but I'm all for the fans cheering for their team. And if they want to yell at the opponents, great. But I don't know. I just think FU is, it's a little much.
How about you tell Draymond to remember he remembers
that
he has kids.
Why don't you play basketball like you got kids?
Right. How about you operate like somebody who is a respectable moral example for them kids?
Stop kicking people in the junk. You know what I mean? Your kids is
I was like, the audacity of Steve Kerr to get out here pointing his finger at some fans talking about he got kids.
Everybody's got kids.
And he trying to take out people's kids with his little Liu Kang kick.
Yeah. I was like, I listened to that and I was disgusted. Yeah. I was like, Steve Kerr, have some gosh darn shame, man. it truly shameless.
Let's think about the man. What?
He has a family, guys.
Yeah. Think about the children. Are you kidding me? Are you for real right now?
Oh, Lord.
That's unbelievable.
That is pathetic.
It really was. Like, pathetic is really the word, especially when the way that he's out here yelling in people's faces and flailing and hitting people in the head. Like, honestly, I was amazed that he got that, I will say, I do think that was a properly officiated flagrant foul, like the ways in which that forearm went to Draymond's head. But yeah. I was like, hey, man, I don't even think he got your money worth, if we're going to be completely honest, the way that he was acting. But even still, I think that it's been good, the physicality that the Rockets have employed. I think it's good the place that they're at, because I saw someone on the text line earlier were like, I want to see Dylan Brooks turn up the villain. I was like, no. He is good right where he is. Mm-hmm. I think that because
he tried to a little bit.
And it's perfect, man, because I felt like he's not like throwing the team, like he's not getting the team in the way. Mm-hmm. Like he's not putting himself in the way of the team, that type of thing.
Yeah, and so he's staying on point. He's being beneficial in the game. And let Draymond Green do his.
You know what Philadelphia fans would do?
They'd throw batteries.
They'd start the bleep you Kerr.
Yeah. 832, tell Steve Kerr we got a chant for him too.
There you go. All right, there we go.
Yeah, so I mean, we're going to get a game 5 back here at Toyota Center, so maybe he just earned himself a chant as well, Steve Kerr. All right, but shout out to the Rockets getting a victory. They'll be back in action on Saturday. ABC 7:30 is where you'll get a chance to see the Rockets try and take a lead in this series in San Francisco. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's do our lunchtime confessions as we always do next.